I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Psalm 139. I am Rob West. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made, but not all alike. And those differences dictate how we do a lot of things. Matt Bell joins us again today to talk about how those differences can affect the way our kids manage money. We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest Matt Bell is the managing editor at Sound Mind Investing and the author of several books on personal finance, including his latest, Trusted, Preparing Your Kids for a Lifetime of God-Honoring Money Management. And don't we all want to do that? Matt, great to have you back with us.
Rob, it's great to be with you.
So, Matt, we started this conversation last month in the program that aired on April 10th. We talked about teaching kids to earn, give, and save wisely, but there's much more in your book that, of course, we didn't get to. So I want to pick up the conversation today with temperaments, which you write a lot about. Let's start there. How do temperaments affect the way we and our kids manage money?
Temperament is a huge factor. It's probably the most underrated, underappreciated factor that influences how we manage money and then how our kids will end up managing money as well. So in essence, temperament is our nature. It's our bent. It's kind of the way we come at life. And it goes a long way toward explaining all kinds of things, from why some people have a hard time saving and others tend to save too much, why some people are willing to take a lot of risk in their investments and others really prefer to keep it kind of safe. And so it's such a big factor that that identifying our temperament and understanding some of the tendencies, some of the strengths and weaknesses that are inherent in each of these temperaments is really essential if we're to learn to kind of play to our strengths and manage around some of the weaknesses.
Yeah, it's really powerful. And I think a key idea for us to understand as we guide our children in this area. Now, Matt, you write about four of these temperaments, and let's go through them. We might recognize these in ourselves and our kids. The first is sanguine. So tell us about that.
Sure. Yeah, the sanguine temperament is that sort of likable, outgoing, charming, life of the party sort of person. Financially, they tend to be naturally very generous, but they don't tend to like to use a budget. They'd rather be out doing things with friends than crunching some numbers. Tim LaHaye, the late Tim LaHaye, pastor and author, he wrote a lot about temperament. He said he never met a sanguine accountant.
Yes, that's important to understand. I think we're all quickly formulating in our minds the people, maybe ourselves, that fit into that category. All right, the next on the list is choleric, not to be confused with colic, which has to do with our kids as well. What does that temperament look like?
Yeah, that's right. So the choleric temperament tends to be the person that's kind of the hard-charging type A sort of person. Financially, they tend to be really good at setting and accomplishing tough goals, but they can also put too much trust in money, and they can also, they're kind of task-oriented, not so people-oriented, so they may have a tendency to kind of run people over in their pursuit of their financial goals.
Yeah, that's helpful. And by the way, we're going to talk about how each of these should approach their money management. Let's move on. The next one is melancholy. And by the way, none of these terms sound very much fun, but what do we need to know about this one?
Yeah, melancholy sounds sort of dour, right? But that's the term for it. And so the person with a melancholy temperament tends to be very detail-oriented. They're even perfectionistic in some cases. These strange birds actually like to use a budget, and I can say it that way because melancholy is my primary temperament type. Yeah. So while they're meticulous planners, really good at using budgets, they can also succumb to fear of making a bad decision, which can make them kind of slow to make decisions.
Yeah, that's helpful. And then finally, in just about 30 seconds before our first break, phlegmatic. What are the signs for that?
The phlegmatics are those even-keeled, steady plotters in the world. They tend to be savers of money and stuff. You got a closet full of stuff. You got a bank account full of a lot of savings. You might be phlegmatic. While they're very reliable, so really great steady workers, their saver mentality can make it hard for them to give.
Excellent. Well, what do you do with that? How do you take these temperaments and then guide your children in a way that honors God as they manage money? What are some of the important lessons you need to know? And what about habit formation, which is so key to wise money management? We're talking today with Matt Bell, the author of Trusted, Preparing Your Kids for a Lifetime of God-Honoring Money Management. Much more to come just around the corner. Stick around.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Imagine if you could sit down with Jesus for a cup of coffee. Just you and Jesus face to face. What do you think he'd say to you? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress continues his brand new series called 18 Minutes with Jesus. Discover what Jesus taught about the things that matter most in life. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. My guest today, Matt Bell, the managing editor at Sound Mind Investing and author of several books on personal finance, including the one we're discussing today, his latest, Trusted, Preparing Your Kids for a Lifetime of God-Honoring Money Management. Before the break, Matt was talking about our kids' temperaments. Yes, we all have them. There's four that he named that are some of the most popular, and he was talking about how those temperaments shape so many things, but certainly that includes our money management. How does, Matt, knowing the temperaments of our kids help us to help them in managing money in a way that honors the Lord?
Yeah. And so first of all, a temperament will start to emerge. We'll start to be able to identify a temperament in one of our kids at around age 12 or 13 is when we could actually have them take an assessment, which I've got in the book. And so parents can do this. The kids can do this. You can talk about it and try to kind of sort out what is your primary and secondary temperament. But let's say you've got a kid who has a primary sanguine temperament. That's the, if you remember, the outgoing kind of life of the party, extroverted sort of person. We could encourage them perhaps as they start thinking about after school jobs, get one that involves working with others, not working alone. That'll really kind of fill their tank and motivate them to stay with that sort of work. And because they don't tend to take to the use of a detailed budget, we can encourage them to manage the money that they're earning by using the envelope system, a really big picture, very visual sort of system. Or you take a child that has a choleric temperament. That's the hard-charging type A sort. We can encourage them to hone their negotiating skills because they'll naturally be really good at that. So take them to garage sales. That's a great place to practice. But as you recall, they tend to be more task-oriented than people-oriented. So we could also encourage them to be sort of mindful of how other people are responding to them, make sure they aren't running over people in pursuit of the best deal. And ultimately, you want both sides to feel good about a negotiation once it's over.
Oh, that's really helpful. And I think understanding these temperaments is so key. By the way, if you want to try to unpack your kids' temperaments and then know specific ideas on how to guide them, this resource would be wonderful. Pick up a copy of the book Trusted today. Matt, let's move on and talk about financial habits. You know, developing habits is so key to just being a functioning adult, but it's certainly key in this area of financial management. I know in the book you talk about three components to habit formation. I'd love for you to unpack those for us today.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. So it's really essential if we want certain habits to stick with our kids, it's really important to see, to take the sort of comprehensive approach to cultivating those habits. And so I talk about heart, head, and hands. Heart is worldview. That's our love for Christ, our identity as stewards of God's resources. You know, the Bible says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So much of our behavior flows out of our heart. So heart is the first element. Head is the second. That's knowledge. So that's knowledge of God's word. So we teach our kids, you know, verses like in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish person devours all that they have. And then knowledge is also, well, how do I put that into practice in a really practical way? So we teach them about the options, such as an online bank to keep their savings. And then hands is, it has to do with doing real things with real money, preferably their money in the real world. And it's really important to use all three because they all build on each other. They all reinforce each other. You can't just get two of them without the third if we want to cultivate habits within our kids that are really going to stay with them.
Matt, how have you seen this work itself out with your own kids as you really teach these ideas of habit formation?
Yeah, it's been a really fun process of discovery. I almost feel apologetic. I've had to use our kids as sort of a living laboratory,
sure.
But hopefully I haven't done too much damage. But it's, you know, it's little things. It's like, okay, we teach, you know, a diligent work ethic. We teach them how to mow the lawn. We teach them how to care for the lawnmower. We teach them some of the doing things related to the work that they do around the house. We want them to do it with excellence, without complaint. But we also want to tie it to the bigger picture, to their faith, to what God's word teaches us, that whatever we do all things, you know, with excellence, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And so we want them to take that motivation from God's word. So we're teaching them, they're actually doing it and getting that hands-on experience, and we're cultivating that, hey, this all comes not from mom and dad, but this comes really from God's word.
That's such a big idea. That's great. Matt, you write about the most important money lesson of all in your book. I'd love for you to share that with our listeners today.
Sure. It's living with an awareness, Rob, that this is not our home and that even the greatest experiences in this world will never fully satisfy us. Now, that may sound like bad news. It's not bad news. It's helpful news, because when we see the things of this world from that perspective, it really frees us to stop looking to them for things that they're not capable of delivering, you know, such as meaning and satisfaction. And it enables us to see them for what they really are. They're wonderful, beautiful gifts from God, who loves us and sees us as his children. And in some cases, you could even really see this as little glimpses of heaven as we experience some of the greatest experiences of this world, but they're not the basis of our identity, our self-worth, or ultimate joy. And so if we can teach that perspective in our kids, what a benefit that will be for their whole lives. You know, I love how one of my favorite authors, John Eldridge, summed all this up. He said, "The key is to deeply enjoy what there is now to enjoy as we wait with eager anticipation for the true feast that is yet to come." If our kids can gain that perspective, that will serve them well for their entire lives.
Well, there's no doubt it will. This is, of course, a real challenge, Matt. I mean, they're constantly being bombarded with pursuit of the temporal. I mean, social media is right in their face every day with the best version of people's lives. They're getting caught up in the comparison trap. They're finding their identity in things. How do we counteract that and cultivate this eternal perspective with this barrage that's coming at them culturally?
Yeah, there are a few keys to that. You're right. That's a huge challenge, and never more so than today because of factors like you're mentioning, such as social media. And so we need to help them understand the truth of who they are. If they've placed their faith in Christ, they are children of God. They're not the brands of clothing they wear or the type of car they'll drive one day. And so we need to cultivate and help them meditate and kind of write the truth of God's word on their hearts so that the messages of this world don't have so much space to get into those hearts. And then I think another really huge factor is gratitude. You know, the culture in so many ways fosters a sense of discontentedness so that it encourages us to buy more. It tells us we don't have enough and that we are not enough and that our kids don't have enough and that our kids are not enough. Mm. And yet if we can practice that habit of gratitude, of giving thanks for all the many blessings in life, that is one of the strongest antidotes to the messages of our consumer culture.
You're exactly right, Matt. Just a few seconds left. Obviously, generosity breaks the grip of money over our lives. So how do we cultivate that gift of giving?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, it goes back to teaching. So we're teaching God's word that part of this is obedience, but part of it is that we are designed in God's image and God is infinitely generous. And so to live generously is to live in concert with our design. We're teaching that to our kids. We're encouraging them to give towards certain God-honoring causes, to give to our church and to other ministries that God puts on our heart. And we're helping kids kind of map it onto something real. I love to help kids make the connection of the real impact that their generosity dollars are having, whether that's writing to exchanging letters with a child that we support halfway around the world, or it's seeing the impact that our own church is having in our local community.
Oh, that's powerful. Matt, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today, but you've really helped us think about how we can equip our kids to be wise stewards of God's money. Thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure, Rob.
That's Matt Bell, managing editor at Sound Mind Investing. His book is Trusted, Preparing Your Kids for a Lifetime of God-Honoring Money Management. Much more to come just around the corner. Stick around.
God made his design for marriage absolutely clear. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, it's the Marriage Family Life Conference 2023. Strengthen your marriage and your family with Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Kathy Cook, Miki Addison, and many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Well, we're so thankful that you've joined us today. Have you thought about the fact that the way we handle money is one of the clearest evidences into what's going on in our lives spiritually? That was the late Larry Burkett's observation. I've certainly seen that play out in my own life, and as I've counseled hundreds and hundreds of folks, in really understanding that the way we allocate God's money, looking at our check register, if you will, is a clear indication of what we value, what is most important to us. And perhaps if that story that our money management, our spending tells, doesn't line up with our true values and priorities as believers, well, there's an opportunity to make a change. Because really, the role of money is to accomplish a set of goals, but those goals should be informed by our values. Think of those goals as the 10% of the iceberg above the waterline, but the 90%, the mass below it, is really our worldview, our values, what God is doing in our life, who He's created us to be. That should inform the financial decisions and choices we're making. Well, we want to help you do that on this program each day. We've got some lines open today, perhaps one for you with whatever financial question you're thinking about, debt repayment, your credit score. Maybe it's investing for the future or giving wisely, whatever it might be. Let's head back to the phones, and we will welcome to the broadcast, I believe, we are talking to Joe. Go ahead, sir. My apologies.
Hi, Rob. I'm 52 years old, and I'm putting money in a Roth IRA. Now, I don't necessarily need the money. I'm just asking for information purposes, but
okay.
I heard I can get it out at 55, and I was wondering about that 55 with no penalty, if that's like a rolling number, like I can only take out as much as I put in that first year, or could I take the full amount at 55, even though I haven't had it in there for five full years?
Yeah, so you've got a couple of things going on. There is a five-year rule for a Roth IRA, which just simply means that Roth IRA needs to be open. The account needs to be open for 5 years before you can take a withdrawal of the earnings, not the original contributions. You can take those out at any time, but the earnings you can take out after 5 years. Now, if you're doing that before 59 and a half years old, you're going to pay a 10% penalty. The rule of 55 recognizes that you might leave or lose your job before 59 and a half. And if that happens, you might need to begin taking distributions from your 401k. They will not put the 10% penalty on you at 55 if you lose or leave your job, but that's for a 401k, not a Roth IRA.
Okay. So this is a Roth. I put money in now. At 55, I could take out the gains. And then at 59, I could take the gains and the principal with no penalty. It's been in 5 years.
No, at any point, you can take your original contributions. So if you were to total up all of the contributions you made, which are after-tax contributions, because it's a Roth IRA, if you total up all the contributions you made from inception to current, you can take up to that amount at any time for any reason, no tax, no penalty, because you're just taking back your own money that you've already paid tax on. The government would love for you to get that out of the Roth, because then you can't grow it tax-free. But if you want to get the gains out and you want to be able to get those out tax-free, which is the beauty of the Roth, you would have to have that money, that account open for at least 5 years. And if you don't want to get hit with a 10% penalty, you'd need to wait till you get past age 59 and a half.
Okay, great. That's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're very welcome. We appreciate your call very much. Let's head to Florida. Hi, Terry. How can I help?
Hey there. I'll try to keep this in a nutshell. I'm kind of like a lower income bracket. I was with a company for 28 and a half years that had a 401k. And I had to move those funds to another place. But when I moved them, I didn't realize until after the fact that I had to have a certain number, thousands of dollars, in order to be able to have a personal representative communicate with me with proper investing plans. So here this money sits, instead of being a 401k, it's sitting in this IRA, and I'm trying to get it moved back down to Florida because it's a out-of-state online type of thing. So with those monies in mind, and also, here's a little side note. With the economy the way that it is, with the American dollar, so to speak, I guess is going, losing its value. People are talking about investing in gold and silver, copper, whatever. How does... You know, I'm a Christian, so as a child of God, I want to be able to invest my money properly. So how does one, you know, in this lower income bracket, what are some healthy choices that I could make, if this makes sense?
Yeah, well, let's talk about the first part that you mentioned there. So you said you have what was a 401k, it's now an IRA. And I guess you're wondering how to invest that. And then the second part is, in light of what's going on in our economy and in our country with regard to the U.S. dollar and so forth. So let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll unpack some of that, Terry. I'll give you my thoughts on that in terms of how you should think about investing that IRA and bringing in some of these other issues that you raised about where we're at as a nation, economically speaking. So you stay on the line. We'll be right back with you. Paul in Orlando, as well as Paul in Chicago. We're coming your way just around the corner as well. A quick break and then back with much more on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your stewardship journey. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
A petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what can it hurt? What can it hurt? What can it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at AFA.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
When we follow Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. We focus less on ourselves and more on God's kingdom. In Michael Blue's book, Free to Follow, we're reminded to surrender everything to Jesus and follow Him. Free to Follow explores what the Bible says about money and possessions and challenges you to rethink the way you view and use them. Request a copy of Free to Follow with your gift of any amount to faithfi.com/follow.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Just before the break, we were talking to Terry in Apopka, Florida. Terry's got an old 401k that was transferred to an IRA with an institution out of state. She's got about $40,000 in there, which is less than what most advisors would require in order to take active oversight over this these funds. So Terry's wondering, in light of that, how should I think about investing this? And she's just concerned about, you know, where this country might be headed with regard to our economic situation, the decline of the American dollar, and how she should factor that in. And Terry, you know, my thoughts are first as to how to invest this. I think, and I'll maybe answer these together, just in light of the challenges you're raising. I mean, yes, clearly there's some things we need to do differently here in this country. I think we've mismanaged this incredible opportunity we've been given on the world stage to lead in an economic fashion. I think the reason that the U.S. took off like a rocket ship past countries that were hundreds and hundreds of years older is because we understood God's design for economics and wealth creation, that we were created as a blessing, not a curse, and that man and woman were created to be workers, to take God's creation and improve it and order it. And when we do that, it results in economic expansion, which is a virtuous cycle that ultimately allows us to give back to the God that created us and calibrate our hearts to His. And when we do that and don't put government in the place of what God was ultimately designed to do and manipulate the system through, you know, printing money and expanding the money supply and suppressing interest rates and all the things that we've done, you know, we will see a flourishing like we've seen in this country, because that's the way God designed it. The challenge is we violated a lot of those principles, and a lot of that is coming coming to roost in the form of higher inflation, massive runaway national debt that we're going to have to deal with down the road. The dollar is declining, but it's not anywhere close to being replaced as the world's reserve currency. I mean, think about the fact that 60% of the global currency reserves are in dollars. The euro is in second place with 20%. There's nobody even close to us. And still 90% of foreign transaction trades involve the U.S. dollar. So we're not going anywhere. There's no one on the world stage that has even a chance to replace us at this point in terms of our economy and the role of the U.S. dollar, just given its stability, given the fact we don't manipulate our currency, even though, you know, the Federal Reserve is doing some things that a lot of folks would wish they weren't. You know, I think we're in a good spot here for the time being. Now, could we have a sovereign debt crisis down the road? Sure, I think that's plausible, but I think it is way down the road. So I think at this point, the best way to overcome inflation is to have our money invested with a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio with maybe a reasonable allocation of the precious metals, 5 to 10%, and then manage your economy, what passes through your hands, according to biblical principles, spending less than you earn, avoiding debt, having some margin, giving generously, setting long-term goals. And when you do that, you've put yourself in a position to experience God's best. I don't think we should pull out of the stock market. I don't think we should put our money, you know, out of the banks and under the mattress. I think we ought to, you know, continue to keep it right there, backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. And I think this economy will rebound and the market will rebound ahead of even the economy. So in light of all that, what do you do with this 40,000? Well, because of the amount that you have, which is not insignificant, but you're right, it's probably below what a typical advisor would need in the way of assets to take it on. You have a couple of options. Option one is you could use a service like soundmindinvesting.org. They would recommend mutual funds to you, and you could transfer that account to any brokerage firm you want, Fidelity or Schwab or any of them. And then they would tell you, based on your age and your goals, which high quality mutual funds to put the money into inside the IRA. So soundmindinvesting.org would be a great option. Another option is what's called a robo-advisor, where essentially you'd answer a series of questions and the computer algorithm would build a low-cost indexed portfolio that would just capture the broad moves of the market. You'd have allocation to the broad stock market through an index. You'd have an allocation to the bond market through the index. And then every time you add to that IRA, if you're planning to do that, it would automatically reinvest it for you. And the two that I would recommend you looking at there would be either the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. That would be one. And the other is called Betterment. I think either of those could be great options. So I would check out one of those three and see if that doesn't give you what you're looking for. How does that sound, though?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, I know there was a lot there. So if we can help you further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. But you can do this. And I'm confident that you'll be over time, as long as you take a long-term perspective, you will be headed in the right direction with this money you've been entrusted. We appreciate your call today. Let's take a quick email. We receive these every day at askrob@faithfi.com. We like to get as many of them on the air as we can. And we'll take another one right now. This one comes from JJ. He says, "Hi, I listen to your show often. I've heard you say it, but I don't remember the best place to shop around for term life insurance. Can you recommend a website for me to research various options?" And I absolutely can, JJ. I appreciate that question. We don't endorse any of these sites, but there are several online quote generators that you could look at least compare some companies based on the quotes they might generate. One is called SelectQuote.com. Another one is called PolicyGenius.com. I think the other approach to this would be to get an independent agent, a life insurance agent, who could help you determine what policy might be the best fit for you in terms of the strength of the company, but also looking at the premiums. And if you don't have a life insurance agent that you know, you could contact a certified Kingdom advisor in your area and ask for a referral. So hopefully that helps you. All right, back to the phones. We go to George in Chicago. Go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I got a question. So I got a couple credit cards that are almost maxed, and I got I got approved for one that's willing to take, so I can put them all in and that one. I was just wondering if that would be a good idea and it would affect my credit.
It may, but what I'm most concerned about, George, is you getting out of debt. What do you have total that you owe on these cards in the aggregate?
So pretty much, maybe 10,000.
All right. And how does that break down? How many cards?
I want to say four. Yeah, four.
Okay. And are you still using any of them?
So what I do, I end up paying one off and then having to use it. So, on and off, not really too much.
All right. Well, the next step for you is really to work on your budget, because the only way we're ever going to be able to pay these off, which regardless of which approach you use, and I'll recommend one here in a second, is for you to go back to the budget, rein in your spending, live on less than you earn, including the minimum payments to these credit cards, but also having enough margin so you can begin, even if it's slowly, building up what I call an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months expenses separate from your checking account for the unexpected, so you can stop the cycle of borrowing on these cards for money that you don't have. In terms of paying off the debt, I wouldn't consolidate them on one card. I'd use a debt management program. Contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They'll get the interest rates reduced and help you pay them off 80% faster. We'll be right back.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to men.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, "An inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away."
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Jan Markell. Next on Understanding the Times Radio, I talk to Israeli author and teacher Amir Sarfati. We can almost hear the hoofbeats of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, although believers will never experience them. Yet some say we're in the tribulation now. That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hey, if you'd like to support our work here at Faith and Finance, we are listener supported as a not-for-profit ministry, and we're headed toward our own fiscal year end. That's right. We're on a June 30th year end, not a calendar year end. And so this is an important time for us as we try to shore up and round out our ministry budget for the year. And because we're listener supported, your financial support is a big part of how we do that. So if you'd like to consider a gift, we'd certainly be grateful. You can head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. www.thefamilyfund.com and just click the Give button. By the way, we have a special offer out there until June the 30th with a gift of any amount. You can request our free-to-follow package. It includes Michael Blue's groundbreaking book that takes us in-depth into what the Bible says about money and possessions. But here's the key. He offers a really compelling challenge to rid ourselves of any baggage in how we view and use money. It's a powerful book. We've also included in the free-to-follow package the new Faith5 phone wallet that affixes to the back of your phone, and it just makes for a great daily reminder of your role as a steward of God's money. Again, you can request that with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Just click Give, and thanks in advance. All right, back to the phones we go to Orlando. Hi, Paul. Thanks for your patience, sir. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a question. I have I'm nearing retirement age, 58. My house is paid off. I have no debt. I have $10,000 in savings for emergency fund. But my only retirement besides my home is about $330,000. I don't have a retirement 401k or anything like that. I built my own retirement. And I was just wondering what would be the best thing to do with those funds. Right now I have the $330,000 invested in stocks, and I get a dividend from them also, which I reinvest. And I was just wondering if that's a good idea, or if I should be doing something else with those funds.
Sure. What type of account is this in?
The 330?
Yeah. Is it in a taxable account or a retirement account?
No, it's in a regular tax. It's a regular, just like TD Ameritrade account. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Myself. And you're making the investment decisions?
Yes.
Okay. And is it an individual stock portfolio, or do you have mutual funds or both?
No, individual stock portfolio. That's it.
Okay. And how has that been going? Like, for instance, how have you done over the last year?
Actually, very well. I mean, all of my stocks have maintained. I mean, they haven't grown like they have before, but they've maintained. And I make probably about $12,000 in dividends a year.
Way to go there, Paul. Maybe there's a new career for you in retirement, managing money. That's excellent. And obviously you feel comfortable continuing to manage it moving forward, correct?
Well, my question has been, you know, I always hear about the fees you have to pay from other people and things like that. And I just, again, I've just been reading. I listen to your show a lot. And, you know, I was a Larry Burkett person for many years. And just,
sure.
I just tried to do those basic things and follow what he told me. And so yeah. I just don't know. I didn't have one of those jobs where I had one of the 401ks available or that they matched or anything like that. So
sure.
I just
sure.
would do my own.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And how far out are you from retirement, do you think?
Probably about 4 years.
Okay. About 4 years. And have you done your retirement budget? Do you know what it'll take for you to maintain your lifestyle after you stop working?
Yes, and again, it's always that thing where you always think you're going to be okay, but then you're always like, well, you start hearing things, well, you need to have this much money for retirement and this much money. Yeah. You're like, well, then maybe I don't.
Well, so, what do you think your monthly expenses will be in retirement? Do you have an idea?
Realistically, I'm trying to budget where monthly expenses would be anywhere between about $4,000 a month.
Okay, and what are you planning on
getting? And again,
that's
cushioned. That's comfortable.
Okay, and what portion of that will come from Social Security?
Honestly, maybe about 30-40% of that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. The challenge is, you know, let's say this 330 grows to 375 over the next 4 years. You know, you would probably pull out about $15,000 a year. So that would leave you, you know, if you were to take $15,000 a year, that's $1,250 a month, which means that if you're looking for $4,000 a month, you know, you still need another $2,750. It doesn't sound like you'll have quite that much from Social Security. Is that right?
Right. Realistically, I'll probably have about $2,000 from Social Security.
Okay. Yeah. So there's going to be about a $750 gap. I mean, so the idea would be let's continue to grow this money. I mean, the good news is you're not going to pay any tax on it. You'll have some capital gains, but shouldn't be paying any tax as it comes out. But you do have a gap there, which means either you work longer or you work part-time in retirement, you know, or you delay Social Security and work longer, and the combination of those two. I mean, you could get your Social Security check if you waited till 70 up to, you know, 25% higher than it would be at full retirement age if you would be willing to continue to work. And that may close that gap for you. You know, so that's one option. And then you'd have guaranteed income for life there and give your portfolio a chance to continue to grow. In terms of, you know, so I think you've got to dial in that budget. And keep in mind, most people live on about 70 to 80% of their pre-retirement income. I mean, yours may not be that drastic because you're already debt-free, so it's not like you're paying off the mortgage right as you're getting into retirement, and now that's coming out of the equation. You've already recognized that reduction by living debt-free, so maybe you're living on 90% of your pre-retirement income. But whatever that is, that's the number we have to solve for, not some rule of thumb about how much you need in the bank. We just need to know, are you really going to have the money you need for the rest of your life? If the Lord tarries and you're in good health, that, you know, may need the last decades. In terms of the investment strategy, I mean, you're doing well. I hate to kind of be an armchair quarterback here, but at the same time, I think there is something to be said about having a professional money manager. I mean, what's really interesting is even though the market has done well this year, despite all of our headwinds, it's been very narrow in terms of the actual stocks that are performing. It's a very small swath of the overall, you know, stocks out there. And it's really, and I think we're heading into more of a stock picker's market, whereas the last decade, you could just be in the indexes and you would have done well because everything was going up, led by the big, you know, cap companies. But I think we're heading into a market, especially over the next probably 3 to 5 years, where it's going to be more of a stock picker's market. And so having somebody waking up, thinking about making those selections, especially by buying individual companies, you know, how are you doing your research and which companies, you know, out of favor and which sectors should you be in? And, you know, what changes do you need to make over time? I mean, you know, this is important stuff because it really has to do your success in growing this portfolio and maintaining what you have is going to be key to you being able to fund your lifestyle and your expenses in retirement. So could you make up 1.25% a year that you would pay to an advisor by having somebody really managing this portfolio for you? I would make a strong case that you could. And then you wouldn't have the weight of that responsibility. But if you enjoy doing it or you just feel more comfortable doing it yourself, you know, you certainly can do that. And you have. And that's great. Perhaps a middle option would be you continue to do it, but with the advice of somebody else, just, you know, to be able to factor in. And you could use a service like soundmindinvesting.org, the Sound Mind Investing newsletter, which Larry Burkett talked a lot about. And they would recommend mutual funds to you that you could, you know, put into your portfolio alongside those stocks, and that would be another option. Does that all make sense, though?
All right. No, it absolutely does, and I appreciate it. I think I was sort of thinking that already, but I just wanted a second opinion whether I should maybe consult a financial advisor as I move forward.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for calling today, Paul. You can find, we recommend a certified Kingdom advisor, and I'd interview two or three at least to find the one that's the best fit for you there in Orlando. To find one, just head to faithfi.com and click find a CKA. You can do a zip code search. Thanks for calling today. Quickly to Chicago, another Paul. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I have about $6,500 in credit card debt over three credit cards. I am maxing out my 401k at about 14%, and my company's matching 4%. I have zero security or safety savings account, and I'm wondering if I should reduce my 401k to about 6% so I can keep the 4% match, so it'd still be about 10, and use that money to pay off my credit card debt and start having a safety account.
Yeah, yeah, very good. So you have no emergency fund, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and the way you're doing it now by paying the minimums on the credit card plus what you're putting in the 401k, you're living right up to the edge. I mean, there's no margin left at the end of the month. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the first thing I would look at, Paul, and maybe we do several of these things, but the first thing I would do is I would, you know, look at how you can cut back on in other areas rather than taking money away from debt reduction or long-term savings and see what we can do with lifestyle spending to eliminate expenses. Are there subscriptions you can cut? And did you change some insurance policies around? I mean, what can you do to lower expenses to free up margin? Secondly, with the credit cards, I would probably look at a debt management program. I mean, it's not a part of the credit scoring algorithm, and you would get those interest rates reduced, and you could get on one level monthly payment. It's probably very close to what you're already sending today, but through that payment that's level and the reduction of the interest rates, the accounts would be closed. So you'd only put in the cards that you're willing to close the accounts on, but you'll pay those back on average 80% faster. And that may allow you to just keep, you know, get the credit cards paid off over time with less going to interest because of the lower rates. And then we reduce the 401k only to build up the emergency fund. But as soon as we do, then we kick that 401k right back up and we just pay out the credit cards over time, but we do it through the lower interest rate. So the total amount going to interest is less. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you.
All right.
Excellent.
So what I do is head to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Start with them and have them evaluate that $6,500 for a debt management program, and then make those steps to build up your emergency fund. Thanks for your call, Paul. Hey, thanks to my team today, Devin, Pat, and Jim. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.